In the height of the civil rights movement, we used brotherhood to express our quest for more than tolerance, but for closeness as one human family. I've never found a gender-neutral term for that feeling, so I continue to use it, but in a gender-neutral way. We are all family, cousins, a part of one community. As John Donne famously wrote in 1624, never send to know for whom the bell tolls. It tolls for thee. Given the waves of hate crimes since the election, I've been thinking about brotherhood. This country is built on brotherhood, on sloughing off the ethnic, religious, and physical prejudices our ancestors all brought from their old countries. By now, those prejudices seem irrelevant. Many of us intermarried and were welcomed in new families. A friend told me that Baha'i do it intentionally to bring people into the faith, though he was truly smitten and has a loving marriage. Most of us just happen to fall in love, and old prejudices seem quaint and silly. But brotherhood matters. Many of us watched the shredding of Yugoslavia. An exchange student from Belgrade was living with us, beside herself with grief and anger at the destruction of her country. Some had predicted Yugoslavia would explode once Marshal Tito died, but many intermarried, traveled among Yugoslavia's regions, and young people like our visitor thought of themselves as Yugoslavs. But it came apart, viciously, in a bloodbath of what was called ethnic cleansing. Americans like to think America is and will always be ingenious, hardworking, neighborly, and welcoming. That's us. We're the best. But many of us understand that virtues have to be nurtured, not assumed. Early in the last century, President Teddy Roosevelt predicted the military tent, where all sleep side by side, will rank next to the public school among the great agents of democratization, close quote. The draft brought people together who had lived geographically, religiously, ethnically, or racially segregated lives. As men returned from war, they introduced each other to sisters and friends, integrating families and communities. But the political strains of war in Vietnam ended the draft. Ben Downing recently urged national service on this station, but we have nothing that compares with the reach and impact of the draft. Racial segregation was made much worse by federal officials who required banks to redline cities and suburbs against loans to African Americans, no matter how strong their financial status. That left segregated school districts. Many of us still try to make our schools, quote, great agents of democratization. But racially homogeneous student bodies made integration difficult or meaningless, and courts have made it worse. Sports and entertainment still reflect integration. I once told Jackie Robinson's widow how much it meant to grow up rooting for her husband. Black faces have been on national television as long as I can remember. My mother screamed with joy when William Warfield came out on stage and announced he'd sing Old Man River. And I'll never forget the sound of Marian Anderson's voice when I heard her live. I've only caught glimpses of Oprah Winfrey, but bless her influence. Familiarity, like minority newscasters and public officials, helps to diffuse prejudice and fear. The Southern Poverty Law Center and the Anti-Defamation League rely on litigation to put racist groups out of business and catalog hate groups, warning us about their activities and sharing strategies to extend the warm pull of brotherhood. Other groups try to bring people together to meet and appreciate each other, like the Interfaith Alliance, individual churches, temples, and Muslim community centers who invite people to meetings and festivals. We've often broken bread in the Muslim community. But nothing matches what the draft and schools once did for so many of us. We need better ways to advance peace, justice, and brotherhood.